Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
We got beer and a tub and some good looking girls dressed to the nines, looking for a good time. Jacked up trucks stacked in thick, white rocks stuck in the mud grips.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. The number one album on the Billboard chart this week is from this artist, 36-year-old country star Luke Bryan.
You ain't here to party. You picked the wrong place. You picked the wrong Friday night. You ain't here to party. You'll be missing out.
Right behind him at number two is a musician who hasn't recorded a new song for more than 36 years.
Well, I hear my train a coming.
Yes, Jimi Hendrix is on the charts this week for a posthumous album called People, Hell and Angels. As it turns out, Jimi Hendrix has now released more albums in death than when he was alive. Joining us to discuss this is Billboard editor and Soundcheck regular Joe Levy. Hey, Joe.
Hey, how you doing?
So, Jimi Hendrix debuting at number two.
At number two.
Isn't it amazing?
It's a little bit of a surprise. It's actually something that we've known about for a while. This projection has been in place for a while. The record company, which in this case is Sony Legacy, they specialize in reissues. They told Billboard they're treating this as a frontline release. They want it to be as big a deal as if the Beatles made a new record. And they've actually been eyeing this for number one or two, although I don't know if they would admit that they were eyeing number one because they didn't get there, for quite a while. So I expected this, and I'm still a little amazed.
So how, I mean, just because the record company wants it to happen doesn't mean it's going to happen. People had to go out and buy the record. So who's buying these Jimi Hendrix records made of these tapes that were left behind when he'd passed away?
Right. Hendrix left hundreds of hours of material that has been exploited almost from the very moment of his death, a subject of some controversy. Some of these tapes were overdubbed in the mid-70s by Alan Douglas. Now the Hendrix family is in control of the estate, so we're getting the raw, unfiltered Jimi. Who buys it? I do, actually. I've bought Jimi Hendrix live at Winterland, four CDs plus a bonus disc. I mean, it's incredible. I bought that one a few years ago. I have bought Hendrix releases. Mm-hmm. I've bought them on vinyl. I've bought them on CD. So guys like me who love Hendrix and who enjoy the prospect of a lot of live Hendrix or a lot of studio Hendrix with fairly free-flowing improvisation, but also kids, kids who love Hendrix, kids who love classic rock, kids who are thrilled to find out new Jimi Hendrix, confusing. Let me investigate.
Yeah, yeah.
Casual fans who might want a T-shirt because this album, if you buy it at Best Buy, comes in a package with a T-shirt. Maybe just someone who was sitting at home and in January heard the six, count them six songs that they played from this record during an episode of Hawaii Five-0 on CBS.
Wow.
This is a marketed record.
Talk about product placement.
Exactly.
So the story behind the record is they're claiming that with all these hours and hours of tapes, you know, it seems like Hendrix just constantly had the tape machine rolling whenever he was just like noodling around with musicians in the studio. They're saying this is it for studio recordings.
Yes, this supposedly will be the very last all-new Jimi Hendrix record. And that is one of the amazing things about it, is that it's marketed as 12 never-before-heard songs, even though some versions of these same songs were on the last new Hendrix record, The Valley of Neptune.
Right. Well, I wanted to ask you about your use of the term all new, because, I mean, if we hear a song like Somewhere, haven't we heard this somewhere before?
Indeed, Somewhere, which was the first single. Single! There was an actual single from this record. It was released as a CD single available only in Walmart, and it topped the Billboard Hot Singles chart because nobody actually releases CD singles anymore. So if you release one that people actually want, they go, buy it. Great.
Yeah.
But Somewhere, yes, you have heard this somewhere before. Specifically, you first heard it in the mid-70s, on Crash Landing, one of the Alan Douglas-produced tracks.
Alan Douglas was a
label owner himself, put in charge of the Hendrix tapes, famous and despised among hardcore fans for wiping the bass and drum tracks, leaving the lead guitar and vocals and bringing in musicians, and they always point out many of whom never even knew Jimi Hendrix,
right,
to overdub on top of it. As a kid, I heard some of these records and I didn't hate them, and mm-hmm. I don't hate them now. But this is a different version of Somewhere that was on that album, and a totally different version of Somewhere than was on, again, The Valleys of Neptune,
right,
which came out just 3 years ago.
So Jimi Hendrix died in 1970 and has once again been hitting the charts in recent years. He is at number 2 on the Billboard charts this week with the album People, Hell and Angels.
Up but not quite touching a promised land. I hear pleas and prayers and a desperate whisper saying, oh Lord, please give us a helping hand. Yeah.
Song is called Somewhere. It's against all odds new from Jimi Hendrix. The long-deceased electric guitarist and singer and songwriter. His posthumous album is at number 2 on the Billboard charts this week. It's called People, Hell, and Angels. That is a version of a, I was going to say an old song. They're all old songs. They're Jimi Hendrix songs, Joe Levy. Who's playing with him on this version of Somewhere?
Interestingly enough, that is Stephen Stills on bass.
Really? From yep. Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young?
Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. Buddy Miles on drums. Buddy Miles, of course, the Hendrix friend who he reconnected with for Band of Gypsies. Mm-hmm. This music comes from the period when the Experience was breaking up or had broken up, and it is valued or thought to be interesting because much of it seems to point in new directions that Hendrix did not have time to fully explore. But I think you got to admit, you listen to that song, sounds an awful lot like a Jimi Hendrix song.
I was going to say, I mean, how much of a new direction is that? Because to me, it sounds like pretty classic Hendrix.
Exactly. And much of this record does sound like classic Hendrix. There are a few tracks that are fairly unexpected. One with a saxophone player, Lonnie Youngblood, who Hendrix had backed up on the Chitlin' circuit. Mm. It's an odd cross between out there jazz and R&B. There's another track with other friends from the R&B circuit, guys he came to know in Harlem who recorded under the name The Ghetto Fighters. It's really just an R&B track cut at Fame Studios in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, that Hendrix came to like, and he decided, hey, I'll play some guitar over this. Is it great? No. But is there great material on this record? Yes.
Really?
There is some great material. It depends on your interest in listening to Jimi Hendrix improvise.
Hmm.
There are takes of blues tracks that he recorded what seems like dozens of times, particularly Bleeding Heart, Elmore James' song that he liked to mm-hmm. cut over and over again. And I went back and listened to the Elmore James original, and you can really hear why he likes these Elmore James songs. You can really hear the tone that he takes from those songs and brings in a completely new and unexpected direction. Hear My Train A-Comin', another song that he cut over and over again. And if your tolerance and interest is, hey, I would like to hear where he takes it this time,
mm-hmm.
he takes these songs someplace interesting. Bleeding Heart, for instance, is a much slower version than we've heard before. It drifts away from blues and more towards the Hendrix ballad come to know and love.
Let's hear a little bit of Jimi Hendrix's version of the Elmore James song Bleeding Heart from his new record, People, Hell, and Angels.
Thank you. know what it means to be left alone.
Well, there always were those blues roots in Jimi Hendrix's playing, and there he is doing another version of a song he returned to numerous points during his short life, Bleeding Heart by Elmore James. Jimi Hendrix from the new album, sitting at number 2 on the Billboard charts this week, called People, Hell, and Angels. We're speaking with Billboard editor Joe Levy about this phenomenon of the artist who has been more prolific in death than in life.
He is, I believe, the 6th best-selling catalog artist of the SoundScan era. Obviously, number 1 is the Beatles, number 2, Elvis Presley, Zeppelin, Bob Marley, The Doors, and then Jimi Hendrix, right behind The Doors, who have sold, since 1991, 16.8 million albums, Hendrix 16.7, and now obviously in a position with some momentum to overtake them.
Notable by their absence from that list, the Rolling Stones.
Well, the Rolling Stones would not specifically, I mean, they're actually making new music, so they wouldn't specifically benefit from some of, let us say, you know, they have catalog sales to be sure, but they wouldn't specifically benefit from the effect of nostalgia and posthumous releases every single one of these artists have benefited from. There are no, in this top 10, there are no active artists. After Hendrix, it's the Grateful Dead, Marvin Gaye, Patsy Cline, and Stevie Ray Vaughan and Double Trouble.
Wow. Well, there is Jimi Hendrix right behind the very much still with us Luke Bryan at the top of the Billboard charts this week. Jimi Hendrix at number 2 with the album called People, Hell, and Angels. And so this is it for studio stuff, Joe, but
they're saying this is it for studio stuff. There is still live material. They've released plenty of it. They've taken single disc compilations and made them into 4 disc expansions. The Experience Hendrix Project has released authorized bootlegs. They've actually identified a market of collectors and passionate fans, and they're servicing them.
Mm-hmm.
Some of that live material is fantastic. Some of it, like that Winterland box set that I eagerly bought, was better as a single disc. It was out in the 80s as a single disc. The best performances distilled into a legendary concert that never, in fact, happened that way. And some of that was good. It was a good way to experience Hendrix. But really, I'm interested in these records. Hendrix made music of possibilities. Those possibilities still speak to us. He didn't make a music about conclusions. It was very open-ended. It was a different time and place when people were searching for new ways to use the electric guitar, new ways to make songs. And I think we haven't reached the bottom of the well in listening to this music.
All right. Joe Levy, editor at Billboard and a Soundcheck regular. Thanks once again for being with us.
Good to be here.
This is Soundcheck.